This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today, we hear from WMUK general managers past and present. Coming up, Stephen Williams, who became general manager last month. But first, we hear from the man who held the job longer than anyone else. Gerard McLeod joined us earlier this year as WMUK celebrated 65 years of broadcasting. He began working at the station when it was called WMCR. The interview originally aired in May. Gerard McLeod, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Oh, well, thank you very much for inviting an old cadre to back to the radio station. It's wonderful to be here.
When did you start working at WMCR?
Well, actually, I started working at WMCR when I was a student at Western. And I don't know the exact year, but probably around 1955 or something like that. And I worked off and on as a student until about 1959. And in 1959, the manager at the time was a guy named Bob Dye. And he wanted to get the radio station on regular hours all year long. Up until that time, we had been on the air like 8 or 10 hours a day, but not on any weekends. And we would sign off in the summertime when summer school started, because there were no students around much to help out at the radio station.
So sign off for like 3 months.
They sign off for like 3 months. Okay. Yeah, right. And this wasn't unusual for educational non-commercial stations, as we were then called in those days. And they decided that they wanted a full-time announcer so that there would be somebody there all year. And basically, I think what they did was they pooled a lot of the student help money and came up with one salary with fringe benefits. And I don't remember how much I made in those days, but it wasn't a lot. And it was a great opportunity for me because I was working at the time at WKZO when it was still Fetzer Broadcasting as a news person. And I was working more or less full-time, but getting paid part-time rates and no fringe benefits or anything. And I had just gotten married, so this was a great opportunity to have a more or less stable job.
So how did you end up becoming general manager eventually?
I worked full-time from 1959 until 1969. And somewhere in like the earlier 60s, Western had started a closed-circuit television operation that was in the basement of Waldo Library, kind of next door to maybe Music Hall, which is where our original studios were. And that building is now totally gone. We had this television operation, and I was working part-time as a television director, was closed-circuit to broadcast general studies and humanities-type programs into big classrooms with television monitors. But I didn't really like that much. And so I finally, they gave me a choice. I could either stay working in television or because it was driving me nuts kind of going back and forth between radio and television. And so I chose radio, and it turned out to be a good choice for me.
Gerard McLeod continued working for the station over the next 10 years and was named program director for what had by then become WMUK. But in 1969, there was a reorganization. Glenn Bishop, who had been station manager, was named associate director of technical services.
At the same time they had this meeting, I was totally surprised. They just announced that I was going to be the station manager. And it was kind of a shock to all of us, but it worked out, you know, and it was lovely for me. Although I had no clue as to what I was supposed to be doing. Glenn had these wonderful relationships with the, you know, people in the administration over there, in the financial part of the administration, dealing with budgets and all that stuff. I didn't know anything about that. It was not my job at the time, but I learned. It turned out, Gordon, to be a stroke of luck, you know, for me, because right about that time, This was 1969 when I was named manager. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting had been founded in 1967. Lyndon Johnson had signed the bill that established that. And something called public radio was just beginning. They were just beginning to talk about it in 69 when I became manager. And I remember going to a meeting where they were trying to figure out what stations needed if they were to get this thing off the ground, to establish an interconnected group of stations all across the country. What was it educational stations needed most? Well, the answer was we needed a good, reliable source of competent news and public affairs. In addition to, you know, the arts-oriented and humanities-oriented things that we all did kind of traditionally.
And so this is where NPR starts to really get its roots and start to take off.
Yes, right. And the original NPR was funded entirely by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And the other thing the corporation had was what they called community service grants, which I think they still do for stations, that were designed to help stations build their staff or their facilities and that sort of thing to become more viable operations.
And this is how WMUK ended up really getting into local news, was with one of these grants, correct?
That's right. The original grant that we got from the community service grant we got from Corporation for Public Broadcasting, I think it was like $8,500. And that's a tremendous amount of money at the time for us. And it was enough money to establish a new full-time news position, first one we'd ever had, and to pay the fringe benefits on it. And the nice thing about it, the university jumped at it, of course, because it was going to be an ongoing grant. You just had to renew it every year. The first public affairs director we had was a guy I knew through the theater here in Kalamazoo. We'd been in some shows together. And his name was Fritz Frurip, and he was the first public affairs director. And he was with us. This was when we were up in Mabee Hall still. He was with us for, I guess, about 2 years, 2 or 3 years. And then in 1973, so we hired Tony Griffin.
Tony Griffin, who hired me and hired Andy Robbins eventually.
That's right. And Tony was a great hire because he had talents and abilities beyond his news-gathering strengths, which were formidable, but he was also a great ambassador out in the community for us. And he personally kind of made people aware of WMUK that weren't aware of before, especially people in, you know, county and state government. He had all the county and state government people in for his News Views programs that he established early on, right around 1973, when we first moved into this building in 1973.
So if you look back at the time you were here, we'll just take it up through your retirement, which was 1999, what would you say were the biggest changes in terms of how the radio station operated and maybe how the radio station interacted with the community?
That's kind of a multifaceted question.
I suppose it is. Probably more than one question.
Right. Well, let's see. During my time with the radio station, one of the first things we did, and this was when Glenn was manager, because he was interested in doing really good recordings of classical music and things. And there was a guy named Gregory Millar who came to be conductor of the Kalamazoo Symphony back in the 60s sometime. And the Kalamazoo Symphony was interested in having us record and rebroadcast their concerts. And Glenn was really eager to do this because he loved doing that kind of stuff and was very good at it. And the symphony played at the time down in Chenery Auditorium. And so we developed that. We recorded their concerts, and they were usually in the middle of the week, sometime like Tuesdays, I think. And then we played them back on Friday nights. And then that expanded into doing the Chamber Music Society. Fontana hadn't arrived yet, but the Kalamazoo Concert Band and the Junior Symphony and the Bach Festival. We did all of those concerts. And so that was one of our first things where we ventured into the community and tried to serve at least the musical community in Kalamazoo. And, you know, I remember doing all those concerts. It was a lot of fun. Well, then, of course, this is the programming side. The coming of NPR was another big moment. And incidentally, the original yearly cost to the stations for NPR was $100 a year.
Oh, boy.
But that was because it was pretty much subsidized by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
I think the current general manager just fainted here.
I left, it was well over $100,000 a year.
And it keeps going up.
Yeah. But anyway, so NPR. And then when we got our own newsman and Tony Griffin, well, you know, Tony was important, but even more important was the fact that we had the position on board, and it was a position that had a stable funding. Well, then when NPR went into stereo, so those are kind of the things on the programming side. There were a lot of other little things, but those are major ones. And then there was on the technical side, you mentioned, you know, we were at 91.1 with 400 watts.
Yeah.
And then in 1955, we got a grant from the Kellogg Foundation over in Battle Creek. There was a station in Battle Creek that had an FM station, AM and an FM station, WELL. And they had decided to get out of FM broadcasting because they couldn't sell any advertising on it. And they were at 102.1, and they were licensed as a Class B station, which I think is now called a Class B station, and at 50,000 watts effective radiated power. So they sold under this grant for like $7,500, I think it was. They sold us their antenna, the transmitter, this big old Western Electric transmitter, which was an awesome transmitter, and also gave us the frequency.
So when you look at the time from when you started, I don't know if you want to take it from when you were a student or when you started full time, and you look at through your time as general manager and then even beyond that, because you've stayed in the area, you've still done work for us occasionally. What do you see as the things which have remained constant? How is WMUK still in many ways the same place it was back when you were general manager?
Well, one thing that has remained constant is our involvement in the arts and humanities community here. We've changed the way we present classical music, local classical music on the station. We used to broadcast complete concerts, like of the Kalamazoo Symphony, as if we were at the concerts. Well, we actually were, but it was a tape recording of them. And now we broadcast, often we broadcast the whole concert, but it will be in the context of a piece from the Kalamazoo Symphony Concert and a piece on Kara's program, Hear It, a piece from Fontana or something like that, which makes, in some ways, much more interesting listening, I think.
And then interviews mixed in.
We used to do an interview with the Kalamazoo Symphony at the intermission in the Kalamazoo Symphony with the soloist or the conductor or whatever. But we're still very much involved in all these local music organizations. I mean, I see Martin Clam out, you know, even at rock concerts.
Yes, yeah.
I see him, and so we're that's one constant. It was some stations have just completely given up on classical music and present mainly news and information. And of course, news and information is important, but the mix we have here, I think, is a really good one. And it gives us an identity in this area. Another thing that's remained remarkably constant at this station is the staff. Over the years, I mean, except for retirements, over the years, the staff has been remarkably constant. I mean, you, Mark Tomlinson, Jack, Kara, who else?
Clay
Woodworth, of course, yeah.
Andy Robbins.
Andy, and Martin came in a little later, but he's been here a number of years now.
12, 13, something like
right.
that. Yeah,
right. The staff has been remarkably constant, and they're all really good. You know, you're all really good. And I like to think that reflects well on me or on Floyd or somebody, you know, who managed to con you people into working here. But it's a wonderful, you have a wonderful staff here, and you've picked up since I retired, you have several new people here that are really, really very good. So we've had a lot of really good people here, and that's been a constant that I think has served us well, too.
Well, Gerard, you are certainly among the good people we have had here over the years. Thank you very much for coming back in. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Gordon. Thank you.
The interview with Gerard McLeod originally aired in May, around events marking WMUK's 65th anniversary. In addition to celebrating a major milestone, our station has gone through some changes this year. Gordon Bolar retired as general manager after 5 years leading the station and a decade on the staff. Stephen Williams was hired to become the new general manager of WMUK. Stephen Williams, let me say, as I have said before, welcome to WMUK and to Kalamazoo.
Thank you, Gordon. I'm glad to be here.
So for our listeners and our audience who haven't really had a chance to find out about the new GM, tell us about yourself.
You know, I'm originally from the Washington, D.C. area, and went to school up in New England, spent a couple of years overseas in Africa in the Peace Corps, and decided I wanted to get into radio. I really enjoyed it, and got a job at WAVA in Arlington, Virginia, part-time. I was working with XM Satellite Radio and a couple of other stations, and decided public radio was where I wanted to be. So I got a job as the News and Public Affairs Director at 91.3 WESM on Maryland's Eastern Shore. It's about 125 miles east of Washington, right along the Atlantic coast. And I was there for 5 years, and my boss decided to move on, and they made me the interim manager and then decided to take the interim off of my title. And so I was the general manager of that station for about a little over 5 years. And I decided it was time for a change. I wanted to move to a station with more opportunities, more possibilities, where a market where listeners seemed to support public radio, maybe a little better than what I was used to. And Kalamazoo seemed like a great fit. Western Michigan University is a wonderful campus. I'm still getting to see everything and to know everything that's around here. But, you know, the Midwest is great. I love it.
And was that what sort of lured you then to WMUK in Kalamazoo, that you saw an opportunity to maybe run a station in some ways similar to the one you would run in Maryland, but maybe some things that allowed for some greater opportunity?
Absolutely. Probably the biggest reason why I decided I wanted to come here was it was so similar to what I was used to. It's a station that has some serious challenges that it didn't create. The market is... across the country, in fact, is very challenging. We're reaching an inflection point where listeners have more choices than they ever have before in terms of what to listen to. Like WMUK, my last station, we had some serious competition from other NPR stations. And, you know, the biggest reason that I love this station is it's a hybrid format in a day and age when most stations are going all in on news or all in on a certain thing. WMUK is one of the few stations that actually provides classical, jazz, news, folk music on the weekends. And so we're providing a full service for listeners. And if you go to most stations across the country that are public radio stations, they're moving away from that.
As you noted, the audience has more options than they've ever had before. But do they truly have as many options as they should have for programming that's based in their community?
That's a good question. I would say the answer to that is emphatically no. There are probably much fewer news choices and content choices for Southwest Michigan than there once was. I know the local newspaper is not nearly as big as it used to be, and newspapers across the country are suffering the same cutbacks. The Washington Post was on the verge of, you know, almost folding until Jeff Bezos came and swooped in and bought it. The founder of Amazon.com. Most markets are not going to have a Jeff Bezos or a Paul Allen or a Bill Gates. So Kalamazoo and Southwest Michigan are facing some real challenges. And in fact, I was with a group that is wanting to start up to increase arts coverage for the Southwest Michigan community because they feel that there is a demand that's not being met. And we are hoping that we can find new ways to bring arts education to listeners who may not be aware of what's happening at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts or at Miller Auditorium or at any number of venues in this region.
Does that make the role of a public radio station in a community this size, you know, not a huge market, not Chicago, not New York, does that make the role of the public radio station in Kalamazoo and places like it even more important and maybe puts a greater responsibility on us than, say, a generation ago?
I would say so. If you look at a market, for example, St. Louis, they have St. Louis Public Radio. In St. Louis, one of their major daily newspapers folded. And St. Louis Public Radio is licensed to the University of Missouri. And their university made a decision to go all in and to fill that space. And so when the newsroom got laid off, they all folded into St. Louis Public Radio and the journalism program at the University of Missouri. And the university built them a new building. And so now they are serving the region in a way they never could before. And some of the reporting just on the Ferguson riots and protests were award-winning. They literally, I believe that they had several prestigious awards for that. Do I wish we could have that here, minus the protest? You know, of course I could, but most stations are not going to have that. Most universities, if they have a journalism program, they may have different priorities. So to answer your question, yes, I do believe that WMUK is uniquely positioned in terms of being one of the few sources that people can turn to for arts education and for news coverage. We had a fortunate situation down in Berrien County, and we had one of our news staff who went down, and there was another on-air person who went to support her, and they covered that situation as it was breaking. I think that's great. A lot of stations, the station that I left, couldn't do that. And it's thanks to our listeners that we're able to stay on top of things, unfortunate though they may be.
As you noted, there's a lot of options for the audience, and that's because technology keeps changing and keeps providing new things. There are new apps that allow you to listen to public radio programs in different ways, perhaps in a more on-demand fashion than what you were used to with terrestrial radio. So is new technology an opportunity or is it a potential threat for a public radio station?
Well, here's how I see it. In the public radio space, in effect across broadcasting in general, there's a lot of soul searching on this topic. A lot of people are realizing that we are reaching an inflection point. We are located, WMUK is located on the campus of Western Michigan University. I suspect that if you were to poll most students this fall and ask them how are they consuming their content, would radio be in the top five? I tend to doubt it. Most people are listening to Pandora, Beats Radio. Satellite radio is definitely in the mix. But
Podcasts,
exactly. In fact, I listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. So we are reaching a point now where there are two ways to look at this. And some broadcasters have said, no, this is an opportunity to retrench and to explain to people how important FM is and AM and get people to double down on their investment. The other approach, which is the one that I tend to favor, is that you should be everywhere where the listeners are. Listeners don't care about the pipe. Listeners don't care about the distribution methods of getting the content from the programmer to the end user. What they want is to get the content when they want it. And they will go to whoever can provide that. And so it's incumbent on public radio, and really I like the term public media because, you know, radio is limiting, television is limiting. If we have a great episode of West Southwest or Arts and More, I wanted to get to listeners every which way it can. If it's on Facebook, if it's on Twitter, Reddit if we have to. You know, there are so many different content streams, and listeners are intolerant to waiting. They are not going to wait until a show airs at a certain time. You know, I have Netflix. If I want to watch House of Cards, I click play. It picks right up where I left off. I'm not going to sit there and, oh, is it 8 p.m. Eastern yet? No one's going to do that. So it's important for us to move to the distribution methods and that where the listeners are and be platform agnostic about it.
So as you've arrived here at WMUK, I'm sure you have encountered at least some of our loyal listeners. Many of them, of course, are pretty protective of the programs that they like. I'm sure there will probably be some people, if they haven't contacted you yet, will eventually, who tell you all sorts of things that they want to do to change the radio station that they think we should have done decades ago. So what do you want them to hear from the new general manager about where WMUK is headed in the future?
We are going to move towards growth. What does that mean? I don't know at this point. One of the things that I've told the staff here and that I've told the university is I want to take some time to look and see where we are, how well we're doing in our environment. Without naming names, I know there are options for public radio in our region. I wish we were the only one, but unfortunately we're not. My intention is to reevaluate and figure what can we do that will grow the audience. You know, the BBC has a motto that I love. It's in their core, one of their core mission statements. Audiences are the heart of everything we do. And that's so important. Audiences are the heart of everything we do. If everything that we're doing is not directed towards audience growth and retention, then what are we doing? I see a lot of stations that sometimes get a little too insular and they're not out in the community and they're not gauging and assessing how are they serving the public interest? This is a trust, a public trust. And, you know, the answer may be, you know, if you look at WMUK, we have several different core audiences. This was the same at the last station that I left. You have your music audience, and they're there with you for music. You have your news audience. I can count on it. Every drive I hear from people, and I am sure the WMUK will be the same. I'm with you. I tune in to Morning Edition. You know, I might stick around for West Southwest, and then at 10 o'clock, it's, you know, bye, I'll see you at 4. And then I have the music listeners who say the total opposite. Can't stand news. I can see, you know, I can watch cable news till I'm blue in the face. So I'm with you from the classical from, you know, mid-mornings until you guys, you know, wrap it up in the afternoon, and then, you know, I'll see you this evening. How do you appeal to both listeners? That's a real challenge. It's a blessing for WMUK and hybrid stations, and by hybrid, I mean stations that have more than one format. But it's also a big challenge because now you're trying to serve, at times, two very different core audiences. I think there's a way to do it. We are going to evaluate it. Every market is different. The thing that that does give me some hope and that makes me feel sanguine about Kalamazoo is, and this whole region, is that in terms of arts and appreciation for knowledge, it punches well above its weight class.
Stephen Williams, thank you once again. Welcome to WMUK in Kalamazoo, and of course, best of luck.
Thank you.
Stephen Williams is the general manager of WMUK. You can hear more of the interview with Stephen Williams at our website, wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.